And ready?
Yes.
Okay, open up the Committee on House Education, April 10th, 2015. We are going to actually have the public hearings first. We changed our minds.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and then we're going to have the work sessions. So I would like to open up a public hearing on House Bill 3496. Richard, if you could explain what it is.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3496 considers costs incurred in providing transportation to students of summer sessions of classes provided by a school district to be approved transportation costs for the purpose of state school fund distributions. It declares an emergency effective on passage.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we have Representative Barton.
Thank you, Chair Doherty, members of the Education Committee. I appreciate your working me in first. For the record, I am Brent Barton. I represent Oregon House District 40, which includes, along with Representative Reardon, among others, a significant portion of the North Clackamas School District. This bill comes to you primarily from the North Clackamas School District, but really I think it's part of a larger discussion that's been driven in significant part about this community, from this committee, regarding summer school and transportation funding and how those things match. Representative Reardon and I attended essentially what I would call exactly the kind of community organizing meeting that every school district should be doing, but North Clackamas is big enough, they have the resources, they really did it. They pulled a lot of stakeholders together, community leaders, PTA presidents, union leaders, administrators, legislators, and all sorts of people with diverse opinions. And we got together and really had a brainstorming session. We outlined different options, different priorities. And this bill comes from as a result of that. The group, very diverse stakeholders, really prioritized this issue. Now, this might seem like an obscure issue, but this is we thought that this was the kind of issue that the North Clackamas School District could really lead the way on statewide and really make a potential difference. And as this committee knows, largely because of a significant part of this committee, summer school has been a big deal in education discourse lately. We talk about, for example, the skill gap and narrowing the opportunity gaps and what public schools can do. And summer school, based on this committee's directives, seems to be a part of that. There's been, however, currently state law does not allow reimbursement of transportation costs for summer school. Currently, state law doesn't allow for reimbursement of transportation costs for several areas, but summer school is just one of those. This bill is part of that discussion. I think it's a common sense approach. And having said that, I will, if I may, Madam Chair, defer to some experts. We'll hear from Superintendent of North Clackamas Schools, Matt Utterback, Principal Kathy Lehman, and Saban Schellenberg Instructor Jason McCammon. Happy to answer any questions, if I may, Madam Chair. And again, thank you for working, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate you bringing this forward, especially from the district that I taught in for 11 years. 10 years. So, anyway, thank you very much. Do you have any questions of Representative Barton?
Always.
Always, but not on this one. Thank you much for bringing this forward and doing all you do for education.
Thank you.
Okay, so Matt Utterback, Ms. Lehman, and Jason McConnum. McGannon?
Good afternoon, Chair Doherty and members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to testify in front of you today. I'm Matt Utterback, superintendent of the North Clackamas School District, the state's fifth largest with 17,000 students. I'm testifying today in support of House Bill 3496 that would expand transportation reimbursement to include transportation for students participating in summer session classes provided by a school district. For decades, the legislature has protected as a vital service student transportation to and from school. It has been the only way and means for students to access that free public education that we hold vital in our society. Providing summer school transportation removes a barrier for our neediest students to access academic support. This academic support fills gaps for students, prevents that summer slide, allows much-needed ongoing practice in English, and propels students forward. We know the Oregon school year is too short in many districts across the state. The answer to this for many school districts, including North Clackamas, is to develop a robust and relevant summer school program to engage students, to provide credit recovery for high school students, and in some cases, offer food and health services to students who otherwise wouldn't have access in the summertime. School districts focused on key performance indicators of increasing third grade reading, eighth grade algebra readiness, 10th grade on track credit attainment, and strong high school graduation rates will provide numerous on-ramps for students to get back on track and propel students forward. This often includes a summer school program. Summer school classes, however, come with a big barrier to participation for many students, and that barrier is transportation. This bill removes a financial barrier for school districts to provide summer school options. Many school districts, when applying an equity lens, recognize that providing summer school without providing transportation is leaving some of our community's neediest students behind. Students living in a district's more rural areas, students without safe paths to school, and students with limited access to public transportation often have no safe transportation options in order to get to summer school programs. And as a result, they're left further behind their peers who are lucky enough to have transportation. In addition to access to summer school classes, providing summer school transportation increases access to food stability, as summer food programs are often paired with summer school classes. In North Clackamas, we work hard to provide a number of summer school learning options for our students. This includes a kindergarten jump start, a Title I summer school for our elementary primary students, and a large high school credit recovery program. Depending on the number of students involved in our summer school programs, and depending on what our budget can support, we can end up spending anywhere between $30,000 and $70,000 a summer in currently unreimbursed transportation cost. That expense limits our ability to provide more learning opportunities for our students. And passage of this bill would allow school districts to seek reimbursement at the 70% rate of reimbursement cost. So we thank you for hearing us today and considering the bill, and hope that you pass it out of committee.
Okay, thank you. We'll ask questions when the panel is finished.
Chair Doherty, members of the Education Committee, my name is Jason McCammon. I'm a career and technical educator for the North Clackamas School District. I also teach summer school. The students that attend summer school are a diverse mix of students that are generally considered at risk. And for whatever reason, they're not successful in a comprehensive high school setting. This demographic, they are often our students of color, students from poverty, English language learners, students with special needs, and alternative learners. That benefit from an environment free from distractions of a regular high school setting. Summer school is an opportunity for this group of students to recover credit missed during the regular school year. Working with a dedicated staff of administrators and teachers determined to get these kids back on track, get them on track to graduate, and prepare them for college and career. Summer school is an accelerated program with smaller class sizes and a support group available for one-on-one instruction where students work their own pace to complete the assignments. Often their own pace as quick as possible because it is summer break and they're missing their valuable summer, and so that's quite the motivation to get the work done. Summer school also provides a safe learning environment, keeping kids engaged, motivated, and off the streets. The North Clackamas School District in the past has provided breakfast and lunch every day for all students attending summer school, and for some, that's the only meal they get. The data has proven summer school is a successful forum for credit recovery for students off track to graduate. Transportation is the issue here. Students must be present in order to be successful. During the 2015 Oregon Leadership Summit, the state legislator announced their three top initiatives, the number one being connecting classroom with career. I urge you to take this one step further by connecting students to the classroom by passing funding for transportation to and from summer school. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair Doherty and members of the committee, I'm Kathy Lehman, and I'm the principal at Lot Wickham Elementary School in North Clackamas. We are a school that is 100% of our students receive free breakfast and lunch, and just over 50% are English as a second language learners. As a principal of a school where we host summer school, we rely on transportation for 75% of our students to attend. School is where they can not only get closer to their reading goals, setting them up for future development, but also a safe place where they receive health and food support. If it wasn't for transportation, these students would not come to school. Our low-income youth have a lack of access to summer opportunities that will keep them at grade level and keep the achievement gap from widening over the summer. Many of the families experience food insecurity, and the meals that they have at summer programming are often the only ones they have during the summer weeks. Additionally, at Lot Wickham Elementary, we provide Harvest Share to families, which provides fresh produce and to help increase that food security. We also open our library during the summer programs for families to have access. Without transportation to and from, families would not have access to these services. These summer programs for our youth in poverty can be a part of summer camp environment that is common to affluent youth. They may take their first dance class, filmmaking, or theater class in a summer school camp. We have also had many families reach out for social services during the summer because our other school resources are closed. We've helped families with electricity, rental assistance, food, clothing, and other basic needs. Last summer, we had one first grade boy who increased his reading ability by 9 months' growth in a 6-week summer program. He was able to take books home and read and share this with his family. In our neighborhood, transportation is a vital part of summer programming because youth live across busy streets and should not be navigating them by themselves. Your support of House Bill 3496 will help students access to the services that they need during the summer. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any questions of the panelists? Representative Hack.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you, Rep. Barton, for bringing this forward. Huge advocate of summer programs. Do we have any idea or any data on how many schools are offering summer programs, and do we have a fiscal on what this might be as far as the cost to provide this?
We don't have it for the state. What we can share is that in North Clackamas, depending upon our budget, we're spending between $30,000 and $70,000 a year in just transportation costs for summer school. So certainly reimbursing that at 70% would significantly lower our costs, which we likely would in turn flip it right back around and put that into more services in the summer. So I don't have the cost for the rest of the state. We're the fifth largest district, so you're looking at about a $35,000 expense from our school district for summer school programs.
Okay. Thank you.
And I have a follow-up. Is how many districts offer? I know everyone used to offer summer school. How many districts? Do you have any idea how many offer summer school?
I don't. I think many do. I would guess that you're probably, and this is just completely a guess, probably around 70% of districts in the state probably offer some form of summer school using title funds, grant funds, and their own general fund dollars.
Okay. Representative Peluso.
Madam Chair, I need just a little piece of clarification to be sure I didn't misunderstand something. So for the food programs and the Harvest Share, can families ride on the school buses?
No.
Okay.
So families don't come on the bus, but they will often walk and meet their kids who have taken.
Understood. I just wanted to be sure I understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Reardon.
Something I probably should know, but are you required to do summer school programs, or are these things that you've chosen to do because you see the value in them already?
Yeah, we are not required to do summer school programs. We would not be able to achieve our academic goals if we didn't provide them. Some students need more time. Some students come to us behind, and we need to close that gap. We all know, if we remember back to our high school days, sometimes kids don't make the best decisions in high school, particularly that freshman and sophomore year. And we want to keep kids on track to graduate. They're going to need some opportunities to make up those mistakes. And that's what our high school program provides.
And just a comment, I think that just demonstrates that's the value they see in these summer programs. They made that commitment to these kids, and I'm hoping we can support that. And one other thing about, you know, they mentioned the layout of that area. It's very suburban. There are very few sidewalks. A lot of the traffic is maybe posted at 45, so that means 55, or I don't know. But, you know, very, very challenging, and you do not want kids walking out there. So it's a really a great need, and a strong supporter of this district and supporting them in any way we can.
Okay, thank you. Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You are just doing summer school programs for high school students, or are you doing a middle school program as well, or an elementary?
We do all three. In fact, this year we will be doing a Jump Start for Kindergarten program. So we're going to take kindergarten students, high-poverty kindergarten students, who likely are coming to kindergarten not at the level that we'd like to see, and get them ready for kindergarten. We do a primary Title I summer school for K through third grade students to get them on track for reading. We do a middle school transition program from middle school to high school. And then our largest program is our high school program. We'll have almost 500 students in a four-week summer school program doing credit recovery.
Just a quick follow-up. You said 500. How many total summer school kids do you deal with, you know?
I would say probably between 800 and 1,000 over the course of the summer.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it. This is, you know, a fiscal issue, so we're looking at it, but I think it's very good that you brought it out, and I think it's something that warrants continued discussion very much. And I probably shouldn't say this, but I did teach career ed one summer. For the students that needed recovery, and in the we taught hospitality was one of the units that we had, and I thought that a very good hospitality exercise was for them to go to the Dairy Queen in downtown Milwaukee and get a peanut butter parfait and bring it back to me. I paid for it. I left them a tip, but yeah. So
thank you.
You're welcome. I did. They can't fire me anymore.
Statute of limitations.
Okay. Anyone else to speak on House Bill 3496? Okay, if not, I close the work session or the hearing on House Bill 3496, and I'm actually going to open up a work session on House Bill 2150.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Daugherty, I move to adopt the -7 amendments dated 4/9/15.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves to adopt the -7 amendments, which I'm going to have Richard read us in a moment, dated 4/9/15. Why don't we read it before we have discussion?
That would be good.
I'm sorry about that.
You're welcome. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The -7 amendments replace the bill, and including a clawback. Excuse me. The -7 amendments maintain the bill as introduced, with the exception of a clawback provision. And do a number of other things that Representative Springer is actually asked to speak to.
Okay, thank you. Representative Springer?
Okay, so lots of conversation about this bill. I think we got to a pretty decent place, so I want to talk about a couple things it does. I want to talk about something it doesn't do, for sure, and I want to be very, very clear. There was, I don't even know where the language came from or the problem came from, but there was a clawback provision that involved two schools that I don't even know how that happened. And so I made sure that was originally in the bill. So I made sure with LC that is not included in this language and those two districts are not impacted based on that language. So what the bill does, originally the issue was when a charter school leaves, there's this opportunity to pick the higher of the 2 years of ADMW, which only a fool would pick the lower. Mm-hmm. And so in one instance in Sayo, that could be $27 million. That's too much money. And so what this amendment does is eliminates the provision that they can choose the higher of the two, and they simply will receive 5% of the ADMW, any district that is the sponsoring district of a charter school that leaves. Mm-hmm. The other thing that it does, in addition to that 5%, quarterly for the first year, there will be a report done by the district of all charter school-related expenses that will be sent to ODE. So that will be quarterly, so all that money is accounted for. After that first year, because there won't be the volume of receipts, that it will be an annual report on that money. I'm going slow because I don't want to miss this. And I've all but been living with and sleeping with this bill for the last few days. So this year, this may impact two schools. It will impact one. There is an additional 3%. Now, I want to be clear that that first 5% is basically by means of a check to the district to use on these expenditures. The additional 3% is held by ODE and will only be paid out on the presentation, and it clearly says this in the bill, of invoices related to that charter school. If that money, whatever money is sitting there, a dollar or all of it, in the year 2019, it reverts back to general fund and is not released for any other purpose. And I think, did I grab the points, Richard? Did I misspeak?
Madam Chair, Representative Springer, I think you got all the points. 5% plus 3% account.
Yeah. Accounting. So to just be clear, the 5% is in a check. The 3% is held back and only paid.
And no matter what invoices and so on, there is a reporting to ODE as to the expenditures.
For every expenditure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just, the only part that changes there is quarterly to an annual after the first year.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Representative Springer? Okay, so is there any discussion on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Oh, sorry. Chair Daugherty, I move House Bill 2150 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
Okay, Representative. Representative Frederick moves House Bill 2150 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
Due pass is adopted. Say due pass is adopted.
I did say due pass?
As adopted.
As adopted.
As amended,
oh, excuse me. I will start all over again. Representative Frederick moves House Bill 2150 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Could the clerk read the roll, please?
Representative Barreto.
Excused.
Representative Hack.
No.
Representative McLean.
Aye.
Representative Peluso.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Excused.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer.
Aye.
Chair Norton.
Aye. Okay, so the motion passes. And it goes to revenue?
Goes to revenue.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, with that, I close the work session on House Bill 2150, and I'm going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 3380.
Yes.
Could read what it is.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3380 directs the Early Learning Vision to administer preschool programs and prescribes requirements of the programs and declares an emergency effective on passage.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Comp. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Daugherty and committee. It's always a pleasure to be here. For the record, my name is Betty Comp, and I am the representative from House District 22, Woodburn, Jervis, Brooks, and North Salem. Having just heard the previous bill about summer school and the need for remediation and help and credit retrieval, it's a joy to introduce this bill. There are going to be several people that are going to be talking after me, so I'm here just to share my passion and the purpose of having a strong early learning program for our children. We have had the research I've been upstaged.
Yes, you have.
Definitely. But this proposal will help children. The legislation is building a preschool system that aligns with Head Start, but also allows for a mix of other providers. It would set quality standards so that no matter where children attend, parents know their children are well cared for and receiving instruction that is appropriate. Oregon has been lagging behind in early childhood education. We have many members from our speaker to all of you, I would guess, that are in support of preschool for 3 and 4 year olds, if they can do that. The reality is our current federal funding and the money that we have in our budget hasn't been covering the amount of students that really could value from this experience. About 32,000 children should be having this opportunity, and we haven't had that opportunity for them to be served. The thing that we know that with early learning, and we have the early learning hubs and other initiatives that we've started in the past few years, but the return on investment that we put in our early learning endeavors here will pay off immensely in fifth grade, eighth grade, high school. And when they learn to read and get this instruction, they learn their colors, they learn their alphabet. I'm fortunate to be around several of my grandchildren at very, very tender ages. Of course, we won't talk about technology because they'll always beat me on the games. Yeah. But it's really impressive when you have a child care center that is focusing on, you know, social skills, but also on learning skills. And with that, Madam Chair, the last thing I would say is the return on investment is approximately $8.60 for every dollar that we would spend to help have these early learning preschool opportunities for our children. And I hope you get to hear from some of them. And I'm going to stick around for a little bit because I don't have another meeting for half an hour. Yeah, it's pretty amazing to to not be scheduled, but I would love to hear some of the other presentations, too. Okay. But I'll be here for questions, and if you have any questions, just let me know.
Do you have any questions of Representative Kump? Okay, thank you.
I have a question for the committee.
Yes.
Any suggestions you have to help me figure out the budget, I'm open to.
It's not on the agenda.
Well, I there's always, being Irish, we believe in fairies, so there's always the fiscal fairy.
Well, I'm looking for that pot of gold at the end of that rainbow.
Yes.
I saw the other day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, next we have Megan Irwin, Donna Schnitker, and Jean Wagner, and Dana Hepper. Just want to bring up a fourth chair. Or Richard, the gentleman, is bringing up the fourth chair. Hi there. And I must compliment our guest here. The children are very well and very well behaved, better than the lobbyists that are sitting in the back of the room. So you're very well behaved.
Look at that amazing self-regulation that they learned in preschool.
Yes, yes.
So, good afternoon, Chair Doherty, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Megan Irwin, and I'm the Acting Early Learning System Director for the state. And I am thrilled to be here today to speak in support of House Bill 3380, which will create a mixed delivery preschool model for the state of Oregon for the first time. And throughout today's testimony, you're likely to hear a theme, and that is, this is not just a new great idea. This is something that we know works. High-quality preschool programs can cut the opportunity gap in half and put children on a trajectory to read proficiently at third grade. I actually got to experience that before the hearing while we were waiting in the back one little boy here was playing with a member of the audience and reading a sticker on the back of her laptop. He's in first grade, and he can read the word unicorn fluently. That's a hard word for a first grader. And he is an Albina Head Start graduate. Preschool programs are also proven to build social, emotional, and self-regulatory skills that help children succeed later in life. And long-term studies that have tracked underserved children who attend preschool have shown that they're more likely to avoid contact with the criminal justice system. So as you consider this bill, keep this in mind. This proposal would cost the state about $8,500 per child. By contrast, 1 year in the Oregon Youth Authority cost the state $79,000. If passed, this bill will make preschool available for 1,500 eligible children, bringing the total number of children served by state-funded preschool in Oregon up to 8,790. And that, in and of itself, is something to be excited about and feel good about. That's 1,500 more children getting ready for school with their social and emotional needs met, on track for third-grade reading success and success later in life. And on top of that, which in and of itself is an incredibly worthy goal that, again, we could feel really excited about, this bill is a critical investment in Oregon's efforts to build a child and family-centered early learning system. It lays the groundwork for eventually serving all eligible children in high-quality preschool. It expands eligibility for state-funded preschool from 100% of the federal poverty level to 200%, which means it's just one more investment that we're making in the working poor. And it builds on our state's existing community capacity by allowing the state to fund preschool slots in high-quality childcare, in existing Oregon pre-kindergarten programs, in community-based programs, and in elementary schools. And that's something that we know there's a real pent-up demand for in our state. Many culturally specific community-based organizations have developed preschool programs that would benefit from this kind of an investment. And we know from a survey that the Department of Education completed in December that there are currently 55 school districts that are beginning to operate preschool programs, and they would benefit from both an investment in those programs as well as the guidance that this bill provides around what high-quality programming looks like. Focusing on a mixed delivery setting also creates greater awareness of and collaboration across high-quality settings, and this model would allow Oregon to have more mixed-income classrooms where eligible children, children with high needs, are also learning side by side with children from more affluent backgrounds. And there's a pretty substantial body of research that shows that that has a really positive impact for children, regardless of their economic background. So thank you so much for your consideration of this important piece of legislation. And I hope that you'll join me in supporting this huge step forward for Oregon's youngest children.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, my name is Dana Hepper. I'm the Director of Policy and Program at the Children's Institute. And Children's Institute, the team there, has been advocating for increased investment and access to high-quality preschool for over a decade now. So we're also just thrilled to be here today. And we're here because, as Megan articulately stated, preschool makes a huge difference for children in the short term and in the long term. We know that the achievement gaps we see in K-12 start long before kids ever reach kindergarten. We have the opportunity to close gaps before they begin. Right now in Oregon, 3/4 of children that are low income don't have access to high quality preschool. That's 32,000 children right now. But we have the opportunity to make headway, and we think we should do so this session. There have been a lot of folks involved in crafting House Bill 3380 and the Dash 2 amendments that you have before you today. We have been honored to sit alongside Oregon Head Start leaders and leaders from the Oregon Early Learning Division. It's been personally incredibly humbling and a learning experience for me to sit alongside the experts and greats like Donna and Jean. We've been learning a ton, doing a lot of hard work. We're also excited that over 30 organizations have signed up to support the legislation you see before you today, and you'll see that on the back of the one pager that just went around. I think Megan touched on a lot of points about what the bill does. Essentially, we're building a preschool system in the state that aligns with Head Start, but also allows for a mix of high-quality providers, so that no matter where a family is going to receive preschool, they're going to a place that is achieving some common high-quality standards. Preschools that are reaching those high standards could now receive state funding to open their doors to low-income children. Oregon just lost out on $15 million of funding from the federal government because we did not have this kind of comprehensive approach to preschool in place in Oregon. And so not only does the legislation set up the right system in Oregon that we believe is the right direction for us to go, period, it also opens the door and paves the pathway for additional federal funds, which we expect to come down the pike. Research is clear that it's really high-quality preschool that makes a difference, not low-quality. And so that's why in the legislation you'll see a commitment in there to the standards incorporating some of the key components of what quality means, such as a sufficient length of school day and high expectations for training of teachers and salary, which results in increased retention of your strongest preschool staff. And I think with that, I will turn it over to Donna and Jean.
Thank you. Chair Doherty, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Donna Schnitker, and I am the president of the Oregon Head Start Association currently, and also a director of the early childhood programs in Harney County. So we're here today because we want to express our gratitude for all of the support that we've had in the past. We also want to let you know that Head Start's important because we serve the most at-risk and lowest income children and families in Oregon. And that it's not just for kids, it's for parents too. And we bring them along so that when they go to kindergarten that they can advocate for their children. We also believe that the ceiling for serving 100% of eligible children is about 80%. We're saying that about 20% of the children are children we can't find or will not want the services for a variety of reasons. And so we're looking at that moving forward. Of course, this is a moving target because as poverty increases, then the amount of children would increase that would be eligible for services. This bill has been a great collaboration between the Children's Institute, Early Learning Division, and Head Start. We've all sat at the table talking about what quality looks like, how we could expand and include children that are 200% of poverty without forgetting the kids that are 100% of poverty and below. So one of the agreements we came to, that one-third of the dollars that would be coming forward would go to build the base of a Head Start. Currently, we have 2,600 children on waiting lists that are income eligible for services that will not receive any services this year in preparation for kindergarten. We don't want that to happen. We want to keep building our base. We also heard that there was some discussion that there's not a plan for or an infrastructure to allocate these dollars, which is not true. Head Start has a structure in place already. We deliver quality service and have for years. But also this bill establishes what quality looks like. And there are programs out there that are private preschools, child care places that really are delivering quality services that would be eligible for these services. And the Early Learning Division has a commitment to monitor the service delivery. So there is an infrastructure in place. I want to introduce Jean, and she's going to talk about waiting lists in her program.
Thank you. Representative
and
Doherty.
You can be about that far away, okay. So you can good. Relax and lean back.
I will. Representative Doherty and committee, I'm really pleased to be here to support this committee. It's been an honor to participate in helping to plan it. I am here representing the Oregon Head Start Association, but I'm also here representing my program. I'm the director of Mount Hood Community College Head Start in East Portland and East Multnomah County. And one of the most difficult things we face in my program is the long waiting list of children and families who don't get service. We've become a very poor community, many of you know. We used to be not so poor, but East Multnomah County has become very poor. We have about 450 children this year who did not get into any kind of pre-kindergarten service.
And I hate to interrupt you, but you do need to identify yourself for record so we know who's speaking.
I'm sorry, I forgot to do that. I'm Jean Wagner.
Thank you.
And so in my program, we see people coming to the door every day to enroll in Head Start and knowing full well that these children don't stand a chance to get in. Many of them have such high needs. It's really difficult to watch that. And not only do the children not get served, but their families don't get that service that they so badly need for school readiness. And then that mimics the state waiting list of 2,600 children that we as programs all have on a waiting list in our state. And those kids don't get anything, and they are 100% or less of poverty. I think that in terms of school readiness, it's so important that children receive the skills, receive the social, emotional skill, and the academic skills to be successful. But equally important is that their parents learn how to help them be successful. What we see in our Head Start program is parents don't necessarily come knowing that it's important to have a bedtime, eat breakfast, go to the dentist, the simple things that we take for granted sometimes. And for the poorest families, I think it's so important that they get a head start or a pre-kindergarten experience that engages them in that process. I think that's going to ensure that these kids are successful. Without that, we're only helping the kids and not their families. In my program, we have many families who are homeless, who don't speak the language that is the majority language in our area. And in addition, one thing that's unique about our area is 50% of the families we serve don't have a GED or high school education. And it's astounding to me how poorly educated they are and how will they know what their children need. And I think that engaging them and helping them, I represent a community college, so we have a great collaboration in terms of helping the parents get into school. But I think that it's equally important for the children and their families. So I thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions of the panel?
I have a question.
Representative Hack.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for being here. One of the questions that I have is, are we going to integrate the early learning hubs in with this at all? And the dollars that are given out, I just want to clarify, I'm assuming that the private sector will also be a part of this. So it isn't as though we're competing with private sector business. I think we need to be really clear there. So there'll be opportunity for private sector, for everyone to participate in that. Is that correct?
Colleagues, I'm happy to take the question and have you add on. So, Chair Doherty, Representative Hack, members of the committee, in a mixed delivery model, licensed childcare that meets a certain quality threshold. So any licensed childcare that's able to meet the quality standards developed by the bill is eligible for funding for mixed delivery preschool slots. In regards to how the early learning hubs will be involved, this bill actually presents a really wonderful opportunity for the hubs to play the convening role that they were designed to play in their communities. So as we move from hopefully passing the bill, funding it, and move into implementation, early learning hubs will play the role of convening preschool providers in their communities, focusing in on the target population of children who are underserved in their community, and then working to determine which slots will go to which types of settings. And it's our goal that in communities that have the mixed delivery model, that there are slots in each type of setting, Oregon pre-kindergarten programs, high-quality childcare, and elementary schools. And hubs are the collaborative body that are really set up to do that kind of planning and organization work.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know the question I'm going to ask, so I'm sure. I am concerned about the demographics of what students are being served. There's a concern. You mentioned one of, I don't know which one of my the children over there was part of Albina Head Start. That they're probably in my neighborhood, in my district. But I am concerned about that because it is a we have a changing demographic throughout the state, but we have one demographic that remains and has been served quite well by Albina Head Start. Are we going to see a continued concentration with that group, or are we going to see a dilution of the money going to that particular program as a result of these ideas?
Chair Doherty, Representative Frederick, members of the committee, I'll give my thoughts, and then it looks like Dana and other colleagues want to jump in as well. I don't think we'll see a dilution in particular because we have constructed the legislation so that a third of any funding that's attached to this bill goes into the Oregon pre-kindergarten program base, which will help guard against thinning the soup, so to speak.
And then I also think that this program opens the doors for low-income families to have access to preschool in their local elementary school and in local high-quality childcare, and that there's a way to construct this in implementation so that it's focused on populations of greatest need. So I don't believe that we'll see a dilution for those two reasons. I'm happy to have the advocates that helped craft the bill share their thinking on that as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys want to jump in?
There are two, Chair Jordy, or Mr. Frederick, there are two ways that the funding that comes along with this proposal will increase funding for Head Start providers such as Albina. And one is we are advocating for a $30 million investment, and we're advocating that a third of the dollars go straight to Head Start. So that is one way in which Head Start providers should get more dollars to serve more kids and chip away at those waiting lists this coming biennium. So that's one way. The second way is that two-thirds of the money, that $20 million, will go to mixed delivery, and Head Start will be a part of that mix as well. So there should be a second opportunity for Head Start providers like Albina and others to serve additional children. It would also open the door for those Head Start providers to begin to integrate classrooms so that you could have classrooms that are serving kids up to 100% poverty, but also have kids between 100 and 200% poverty in the same classroom, which evidence is pretty strongly in support of.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Any other questions, Representative Hack?
I think it's more of a statement. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we also have a group of folks that are probably just past the cusp of the poverty level, but are before you get to the family wage earning level or even into that, that are desperately struggling to be able to provide preschool, whose children also need to be there. So I would love to visit with Representative Comp about how we might at some point talk about reaching those families, because I think that that's a whole nother set of folks that we should not leave out of the discussion here, because I think they're struggling also. And those children deserve to have preschool, too. So I just want to throw that out there, that I think we need to think about those as well. And hopefully we can have that discussion in the future.
If I can just, Chair Doherty, Representative Hack, I mean, Children's Institute will be back here at some point. I don't know if it'll be 5 years or 30, but talking about universal pre-K, I'm sure. Yeah. But in the meantime, right now, Oregon's investment in pre-K tops out for almost all families at 100% federal poverty level. So I think that's about $25,000 for a family of four in annual income. This legislation doubles that to 200% federal poverty level as the cap for which you could get a state subsidy essentially to pay for your preschool. And so this is a huge step toward what you're hoping for.
Good. Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? I just have a comment. I'm on the Community Action Board of Washington County, and I've been to a numerous Head Start classrooms, including the bus. So I would encourage all of you to, you know, talk to your local providers and go to the Head Start. I mean, my hope, and this was with the fiscal fairy, is that there would be enough money for every child to have a Head Start-like program, because it is extremely, extremely good. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Okay, the next panel, Dick Withnell and Betsy Earls. Mr. Earls, I'm not used to seeing you in the afternoon.
And I'm going to support this bill, so that will be a surprise, too. It'll be new.
Thank you very much.
Very new. Go ahead.
Betsy, am I going first?
You're going first.
Yes. Madam Chair, members, my name is Dick Withnell, a local business person, and I'm smiling that I'm speaking from you today as a supporter of this pre-K program bill of a 3380. But as a business person, this morning I had breakfast in Representative Comp's area at Donald with Duncan Campbell, and I'd like to report that he did pay for breakfast, but that can be an expensive meal sometimes, knowing Duncan. But it was interesting, though. I told him I was going to be speaking down here, and how come he wasn't, but we'll go into that later. But to be serious, and to be really serious, is that how did the business community come to support early childhood education? And it was interesting when we talked about Dick Alexander and how Dick and Duncan were on the Public Safety Commission and how they were kind of get the key and lock them up and throw it away, and they found out that maybe we should be addressing the farm team of the problems. and what was it? Duncan, he did the what was his name? Friends of Children. He founded that, and then of course Dick has been involved with the Children's Institute along with Lynn Lundquist. And it was Dick who communicated with the business community, saying the value of just what you have heard and what Representative Comp mentioned today, too, of what the value was, what the return on investment is for this early childhood pre-K program. I think one thing that we need to look at is when we're talking about dollars to present this program, that don't look at it as an expense, but look at it as a the dollars are providing or a value, and that value gives you a result. And what is that result? And that result is $8.63 to $1. I mean, that's pretty good return on investment. My involvement has also been with the Department of Corrections and Oregon Youth Authority, and then if you throw in the other big one, Department of Human Services, you're talking about billions of dollars, and it's been proven that this education will erode that significantly, and so that's very significant. And then when we talk about, I think Representative Hack, you mentioned about the other people that are not being serviced by this dollar amount. What comes to my mind is that we're not talking about widgets here, are we?
Nope.
We're talking about individual lives, and that is really significant to me. And if we ever want the magic silver bullet, if you want to call it that, to make Oregon that much better, it's going to be education. And the earlier we can start it, the better the return on investment, and then the people will be get better jobs and better incomes. And, of course, then that gives us more revenue to do other great things for our state of Oregon. So I just wanted to really support 3380 and thank you for your involvement in this. And thank you for your service. I do want to share one thing with you that I like to say about early childhood. There's a everyone knows about Yogi Berra, right? Okay, early Berra, Yogi Berra said, contradicting some of baseball's most cherished cliches, statistics show that what your team's fate may well be is sealed by June 1st. And Yogi Berra said, it gets late early out there. Well, to paraphrase that, contradicting some of children's most cherished cliches, statistics show that children's fate of life may well be sealed by 3 years old. As Yogi Berra said, it gets late early out there.
Thank you very much. Searles?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Betsy Earls, representing Associated Oregon Industries and appearing before you in support of House Bill 3380. We support House Bill 3380 because business and the business community knows that preschool works. And it's a modest investment in offering preschool to more Oregon children and will help the state as a whole, really by helping to create better students, which creates more high school graduates, which creates more post-secondary students, and ultimately it creates a pipeline for higher skilled workers. You know, I want to be clear that the business community looks at this, you know, in two ways. I think really from a bottom line issue that we need more and better skilled workers, but also every single business person has a child in their life. They have children, they have grandchildren, they have nieces and nephews. And the overall goal of, I think, all of our support of early preschool funding is to have children all across Oregon be happier and more successful and productive members of society. So that's really the first and most important thing for us. But one of the ways that you become a happy and productive member of society, honestly, is to be good at your work. And the better you are at your work, generally speaking, the more you enjoy it. At least that's been my own experience. You've heard a lot of statistics up here today. But let's just go through a few other ones. Low-income children who attend high-quality preschool programs are 40% less likely to need special education services or to be held back a grade, 30% more likely to finish high school, and twice as likely to attend college. And that really pushes the state toward that 40-40-20 goal that we adopted a few years ago, and that I think the more we can do in that direction, the better at this point. Unfortunately, as you've heard, research demonstrates that the achievement gap between the more achieving and less achieving students is very, very well entrenched already by kindergarten, particularly for low-income children and children of color. Children who enter kindergarten less prepared fall further and further behind their peers by third grade. And the way children are doing, the academic successes that they're having in third grade are absolutely a vital measure. Meeting standards in math and reading by the end of third grade, as you know, are two of the most important predictors of high school graduation and career success. So we support 3380 because the proposed preschool expansion that it funds and supports will allow more young Oregon children to access high-quality preschool, and ultimately that supports them in everything that comes afterward in their lives.
Okay, thank you. Any questions to this panel?
One quick comment. Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank you folks for being, for stepping forward to say this. And I'm going to be just blatant about this. Please go and talk with the folks at Albina Head Start and the other Head Start programs in my district. This is important for them. This is important for those kids that you see behind you. And please become partners with them, because they need to know that there are other folks looking at them and saying, we expect you to succeed. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
Well, and not just Albina Head Start.
No, but I said I was being blatant about my my district. I will just be very blatant about
blatant
it.
Blatant self-promotion.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
Did you want to add anything?
No, I was going to say,
okay.
Representing Frederick, they could be potential car buyers.
Could be potential what?
Car
buyers? Oh, I can, this is very true.
Touche. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much for testifying. Okay, the last people we have up, unless we've got some young folks that also, if they want to testify, they can come up. We have Adriana Velasco, Alganesh, and I'm not going to try your last name, and Maria Espino.
There you go.
Yeah. And anybody else who would like to join you?
Yeah, you're
okay. Good morning. Good morning, Chair Doherty, members of the committee.
And you can actually sit back.
Okay, great.
Perfect.
My name's Andreina Velasco, and I'm with Children's Institute, but my location is in Earl Boyles Elementary in Southeast Portland. Mm-hmm. I support a project, a demonstration project of a publicly funded, blended and braided funded preschool in Earl Boyles that is currently serving all students in the neighborhood who are 3 and 4 years old. And I'm honored to work with families every day who have their children in the preschool program and at our school. And today I'm also honored to present two of them, but I also want to acknowledge two parents who won't speak, Lorena Cruz and Nidia Perez, who are here supporting this process and also have children in our preschool. Every day I see the transformation of children from the day that they start preschool to the day that they enter kindergarten. I remember when I met Maria Rojas' daughter, Lupita, 3 years ago. She barely spoke. She was very shy. Today we have to remind Lupita to listen. In both English and Spanish. And when I first met Alganesh, I just knew that she would be a family member and a colleague. Alganesh volunteers almost every day in our preschool, and Ms. Harrow, Hosanna's preschool teacher, considers her her peer. So when I heard Ms. Wagner from Mount Hood Community College say that it's not only serving children, but our preschool program serves families, it's also a way to develop and harness the skills that families bring to the table when they come to our preschool. So without further ado, Alganesh and Maria Rojas, thank you for coming and supporting this process.
Thank you.
Alganesh, do you want to start?
The chair of Dorothy and the member of committee. My name is Alganesh Walde Andreas. I have 3 kids, Nebi and Sassena and Hosanna. They both attend at pre-K and Head Start. So I know how it's helpful, because Nebi is, he was going to Albania Head Start. So when he's graduate from pre-K Head Start, he was reading for ceremony for graduation. But at the first, when he's a 3 year old, he was delayed to speak. Mm-hmm. But when he starts school, he can read when he's graduation for ceremony. And then Sassena, he starts when he's 4. Now he's a good reader. Mm-hmm. He's good at maths. He's good at everything. So I have Hosanna. He's in pre-K right now. He's 5 year old. He knows A to Z. He knows everything. Yeah, he can even know addition. So he's ready to read. He's very helpful. Pre-K and Head Start is helpful. So I hope all kids can get opportunity like my son, like Navy and Hosanna and Sasane. So if they don't attend Head Start and preschool, how they gonna read up in the kindergarten? I did voluntary at pre-K and kindergarten. So I see people, kids attend to pre-K and don't attend pre-K. I see them how they do. When they start, they don't attend to pre-K or Head Start, they cannot even know how to hold the pencil. Mm-hmm. But when they attend pre-K and Head Start, they know a lot. They learn a lot. I see them, I voluntary in head, pre-K and head kindergarten. So I can tell how it's helpful of kindergarten, pre-K and Head Start. The three kids I have, they attend pre-K and Head Start. So it's helpful. They are both, two of them is good reader. They good at maths. But Hosanna is ready to read. You cannot wait to kindergarten.
Thank you.
Thank you. I hope everybody, all kids can get opportunity like my kids for maybe in Sasana. Sana, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm here for Share Story and members.
You can stand. Yeah. Perfect.
I'm here for Share Story and members of the community. My name is Maria Rojas, and I have two children, two daughters. One is 9, almost 10 in June, and she's in 4th grade. And the youngest is Guadalupe Lupita, and she's 6 years old. She's in kindergarten. My experience like a parent, it was in same time amazing with my younger daughter because she had the huge opportunities to be attend 2 years and around at preschool, and our life changed so much when she graduated for preschool, because before that I can even talk to she, because it was a really huge frustration. I was so stressful because her speech and be so very confidential in by her own self to speak with the family or other members or be play with other kids. She was really quiet. She had problems to speech. She have a lot of problems to hang out with other kids over her age. After preschool, she was like a bomb, explode a bomb, because she was able to speak with other kids. She was able to speak English. She was able to get involved with other people, including adults, and you can even understand she. Preschool, what she's doing with our kids is a huge, amazing change. The first year that she would start a preschool, I was afraid to be a volunteer. But my second year that she was in preschool, I get in touch with being volunteer, and I can say preschool changed our children's life. It changed so much because in experience, physical and with my own eyes, I believe the preschool program changed the life for these children, because it's the first huge step for being a doctor, astronaut, engineer. I believe that because my daughter can speak, can read, can be more open to speak for another children or another adult. So for me, like a parent, I would like to other kids have this opportunity like my daughter have it, because kids should be have this opportunity to improve her life, to be more confidential, to be more open, to successful in the life. And I really appreciate if you, I hope that you can pass this bill to change our children, our future children's world, because it's a big step for them. My oldest daughter doesn't have this change. She just went through a Head Start only 2 months, and I feel like she's almost 10 years, and she's more shiny, more silent, more separate. She's in good school, but it's something like our inside that preschool do for our children. They give this being more open outside of the world, to have more personality, to be more confidential with her own self. And I can see the difference, like a parent, like my oldest daughter and my little girl. My little girl, sometimes I need to say, see, please, because she's talking all the time about Christian, and actually she speaks really well. And I can say that she speaks more English, more better than me. And everything is for thank you for the preschool. I was so very happy, and I feel blessed because this program changed her life. And the only thing I can say, thank you, and I hope that you can pass this bill, because for the bottom of my heart, I can say that I really excited to be here and give my own experience like a mom, and say that thank you for this program. My daughters have this opportunity to be more open in her life, to be more successful and be a good reader and a good person and be more open, because she reads, she can, you can listen and you can understand every word that she said.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have any questions to the panelists? Representative Springer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name in the middle. Would the little boy in the blue plaid shirt happen to be yours?
Yes.
That was pretty obvious when you were speaking.
Yes, we're talking about you.
Adorable.
Okay, any other questions or observations? Representative McLean, then Representative
Well, I just wanted to thank you all for being here today, and it's really apparent that you are parents who care, and I'm so delighted that you have the opportunity to be here as part of this presentation, because as people have pointed out before, it's for the children, but it's really for the families.
Mm-hmm. I want to say something more. When Andreina told me like 3 days ago that if I be able to come here, I have plans. I'm sure that I'm going to get fired from my work because I don't show up. I told she, I'm not going to make enough money, but what I'm going to make for these children. Because I believe I care for other children too, because kids, our kids is our future. It's our, if I don't do something like a little thing, because I'm doing a little thing, you guys, you're making a big thing to change this children's world. And I think the first step to be successful in life is starting Head Start in preschools.
Oh, absolutely.
Very good. Thank you. Representative Reardon.
Well, only a fool would try to follow parents' testimony, you know, I just wanted to comment. I mean, I've been to Earl Boyle's and I've seen Maria in action. It starts with them going out, the teachers and the staff going out into that community, mm-hmm. getting to know the parents before they even arrive in school, and getting to know each other. And that's where it starts. Mm-hmm. And so it's not only, you know, the kids that are coming together and they're learning so much, obviously, but it's community building. It
yes.
really is. And you think
we
of that
community.
That
yeah.
community with, you know, like 80 different languages spoken in David Douglas School District, a lot of poverty, but that has just changed that entire area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how can you even measure that return on investment? So thank you for being here today.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
I had one. Thank you,
yes,
Madam
Representative
Chair.
Heck.
I just have a comment to make, and I don't remember your name on the very end, but I'm happy to write your employer a letter because
we'll write
you
a note.
Did an amazing job today.
I didn't know that I'm coming here to Salem to
okay.
talk with
well,
you.
Well, if you need one,
say hi to us. And
all right.
We'll see you.
Well, if you need one, I'm guessing we're all okay there. So you let
thank
us
you,
know.
Thank you, but they know. Right?
All right.
Okay. Representative Peluso.
Thank you, Chair Doherty. I just want to say a couple of things about 20, 30 minutes worth. So first, I am just jazzed that the Early Learning Hub is taking this on or is in the bill, and to make that work, I think that is the most appropriate role for that that hub. You know, and basically, we're preparing these children to be ready to learn at the right time and at the right stages, and it is just so important when we talk about that third grade reading thing. They'll be readers. I mean, it's just it's huge. Yes. Head Start. I will always cheer for Head Start. I spent a lot of time in a Head Start classroom with Jean and again, it was mentioned, but you know, when the parents are learning how to make the kids successful, it's making the parents successful. And that was one thing that just resonated with me every time I was in those classrooms or sitting on the policy councils, that the growth in the kids mirrored the growth of the parents, and it just, we're making so many people successful with these programs. I don't ever leave without talking about law enforcement. And Fight Crime, Invest in Kids is here. The name alone says it all. I was a police officer for a heck of a long time, and I know this is a huge investment. It is crime prevention at its finest, which is, again, hasn't been mentioned today, so I just am so happy I get to. It's just huge, and as we are making our children less likely to be victims of crimes or suspects in crimes. If you know the cost of a prison bed, when we can free up more of those dollars, we're going to fund everything. Mm-hmm. And that's just huge. I also think, you know, right now in the law enforcement world, we're talking a lot about racial profiling. And I am a firm believer that this is the generation that's going to break those mm-hmm. ethnicity barriers and make the difference that just the huge difference that's going to make this world so much better. And again, that's all part of these programs. And I have to tell you, you know, when I look back on my law enforcement experience and my life experience in general, I like to think that, you know, hanging out with Head Start, hanging out with these kind of children's programs made me a much, much better cop and probably even a better chief. And I'm really hoping it makes me a pretty good legislator. So anyway, I just applaud everybody here and for your efforts and your work. And this is the change we need to see, and it's going to happen. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. That's all we had signed up. Does anyone else want to speak on this? Or okay, very good. As I say, you were much better behaved than the lobbyist, so I appreciate that. Okay, with that, I close a public hearing on House Bill 3380. I want to let you know we are carrying over. Oh, I'm sorry.
I believe we have one.
Okay, I am going to reopen the work session of the public hearing on 3380.
Would you like to tell them for the record what your name is?
My name is Sasene.
And are you going to read to us?
Yes.
Thank you.
We only met a few moments before this hearing. So he has not been practicing. This is real.
Okay, read to us.
When you follow your dreams, some might think you're wacky. That's okay. Just hold steady and stay on your unicorn.
Woo-hoo! Yay! And one of the, ma'am, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Oh,
we're sending back up. Yes. Even though you were not the star reader.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Christine Vogel, and I'm with the League of Women Voters.
Thank you very much. Okay. With that, we will close the public hearing on 3380. I said we are going to carry over 2655. Now we're going to open up a work session on 3375. Richard, if you could remind us of this.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3375 revises and renames the Minority Teacher Act of 1991.
You can wait.
Okay, let's wait a minute. Yeah.
We will stand at ease for a moment.
Okay.
I was so
okay.
excited.
Okay, we're no longer easing. We're tense now.
House Bill, the committee's been asked to consider the dash ones for House Bill 3375. The committee's been asked to consider the dash twos for 3375. The dash twos renamed the Minority Teacher Act of 1991. They changed references to educator employment goals as relative to percentage of students in a district instead of overall percentages. They require the Oregon Department of Education use federal reports on educator equity in certain monitoring activities. They mandate that the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, they mandate the HEC to require public teacher education programs to have a plan to promote diverse educator output. They require that the HEC and the Oregon Education Investment Board, the OEIB, ensure implementation of those plans. They remove district-level plan requirements for the measure in the introduced version. The dash twos require the HEC and ODE and the HEC and the Education Workforce Policy Advisor to report to Legislative Assembly on the implementation of these plans each odd-numbered year. And in certain situations, technical assistance has been replaced with guidance where appropriate.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Frederick.
Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the dash two amendments dated 4/9/15.
Okay. Representative Frederick moves to adopt the dash two amendments dated 4/9/15. Is there any discussion? Okay. Is there any objection? Okay. Seeing none, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 3375 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves House Bill 3375 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Tia, could you read the roll, please?
Representative Bretto.
Excused.
Representative Hack.
Aye.
Representative Blaine.
Aye.
Representative
Peluso. Aye.
Representative
Verdin. Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Excused.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay. The motion passes, and Representative Frederick, would you like to carry your bill?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. With that, that's all that we had on the agenda. I think that's it. I adjourn the House Committee and have a good weekend. Committee and have a good weekend. I adjourn the House